How do we successfully incorporate AI into what we're doing to the point where we're not relying on a machine to make a decision for us? Because we don't want that. We want a human to always make that decision. We are looking at ways that AI can make our jobs more efficient and give us some predictors and give us some more information to use to complement the decision that a human has to make. And so I think one of the concerns that I've heard from colleagues in talent acquisition is we're worried that AI is going to be overwhelming and start to make the decisions for people.
Hello, and welcome to the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Dull, and on this show, we interview today's industry leaders in talent acquisition to discuss challenges, best practices, and what the future holds. If you are working in talent acquisition and have always wanted to sit down with your peers at other companies to exchange ideas and learn, well, this show is the next best thing. Join us each week as we bring you a new expert interview and extract their expertise. This episode is brought to you by SageMark HR. Transform your recruiting practices with leading-edge technology. Selecting the right recruiting solutions to enable your strategy is one of the biggest challenges leaders face today. You know technology will help, but searching all the options to find out what will work best for your specific needs can be both overwhelming and time-consuming. At SageMark HR, we make selecting the right recruiting technology easy. Our proven process has helped companies such as 3M, Comcast, Stryker, Walgreens, and many more. Reach out to us at SageMark HR for a free consultation to learn how we can help you improve results with less stress and confidently change from reacting to leading.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Dull, and today I have a fun conversation with Jeff Olinger. Jeff is the Director of Talent Acquisition for Corporate and Campus at Sun Life. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much for having me, Ryan. Great to be here.
Yeah, looking forward to our conversation. Let's start out and dive into your background a little bit. Everyone in TA's got a unique story on how they got here. So let's dive into that. And how did you get started in the talent space? And what are some roles that you've held leading up to your current role?
Sure. It seems like everybody in HR is an accidental HR person, which I'm no exception to that. So frankly, growing up, I was very heavily involved in athletics. I really envisioned a future as a professional athlete. And for a little while, that actually seemed a little bit possible. And when I graduated from university and realized that wasn't going to be possible, now I thought to myself, now what? I don't know what I'm going to do, because I hadn't really thought about that before. And that's when I ended up working at Enterprise Rent-A-Car, which was a terrific company to work at. Frankly, I took the job there because I needed a job, but I didn't know much about car rental. I didn't know much about running a business or anything, but quickly came to realize this was a role that offered you exposure to business development, sales, team leadership, logistics. Really enjoyed that. But as I got deeper into my career there, I became more of an HR person. So I started doing a lot more in terms of performance coaching, talent selection, talent development. And that's when I realized about 6 years into my time there that I actually liked that and I was good at it. And so that's when I started to really develop an interest in HR. And if you'd said to me the day I graduated university, you're going to go into HR, I would not have known that. When I got a number of years into my time at Enterprise, I evolved into that kind of a person and then really thought to myself, this is the space I'm supposed to be in. That led me to go to McMaster University after a few years, because the other thing that happened is my wife and I got married, we started a family, and I wanted something that offered more balance in my life. And the next promotion wasn't going to take me far away from Southern Ontario, where I'm located and where I wanted to be. Ended up at McMaster University, working in the business school, doing employer development. So essentially bringing employers in to hire our students, both in the commerce and the MBA programs. Loved that job. But then a leadership opportunity came up in the engineering faculty. So I went over there and managed the engineering co-op office for 3 more years. And I would say at my time at McMaster is really where my interest in student recruitment and campus recruitment really got really strong, and loved that job, really enjoyed the impact that I got to make. Working at a university is a great place to work. There's just wonderful people there. And you get to make a really big impression on people who are going through things that I had just gone through a few years before, but I didn't know what I wanted to do after graduation. So really enjoyed that role. Opportunity came up to go to RBC and manage a national team of recruiters. That was an opportunity to go into the employer side, essentially going to the other side of the table where I was an educator before. Now I'm an employer. Loved RBC, great company. An opportunity came up to go into the tech sector from there, which is something that I had not had a lot of exposure to in the past. And so went into a tech company and learned a lot there and worked with some really smart and interesting people. And that was a program that was still developing its campus recruitment strategy. And so got to be a part of that. And then an opportunity came up to go into a credit union and focus more on the experienced hire side, which is something that I had done a little bit, but hadn't had as a primary part of my role. And so went into that and did that at credit union for a little while. Great company, loved it. Really wasn't looking for a role, but then networked with some folks at Sun Life. And this role came up that was a blend of experienced hire and the campus recruitment stuff that I really had a passion for. It was a great opportunity to come over to Sun Life. I've been here almost 2 years to the day and have loved every minute of it. It's just been a great company to be a part of. Very collaborative people with a what's next mentality, you know, the kind of place where we're always trying to do something a little bit better. Not from a position of being dissatisfied all the time, but how can we make something a little better for our employees, our business partners, our clients? So in each of the career moves that I've made, I've always been trying to add something new. It's never been a, you know, a straight lateral move. I wanted to get exposure to the education side, then the employer side, then the tech side, then the experienced hire side, then blending them in a more strategic role here at Sun Life. So I feel like each time that I've made a move, I've been able to add something to what I was doing, which is really important to me in my career.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you for going through that in such detail. And it sounds like you were very strategic and planful in those moves that you made. And not everybody does that. So kudos to you. I think that's great and appreciate you going through that. If you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit more about Sun Life as an organization, if you wouldn't mind for the audience, as well as maybe a little bit more around the scope of your role, maybe how many hires your team makes, how is your team made up, what's the structure at Sun Life, just scope that out a bit.
Sure. Yeah. So Sun Life, most people have heard of Sun Life. And I think when most people hear the name Sun Life, they think benefits provider, they think insurance company. And so when you have a need to go on a leave or to have, you know, maybe you've been injured or you do have an illness that occurs and you need some supports from a benefits provider, that's what Sun Life does. So they help people with that. Now, if we were having this conversation 10 years ago, Sun Life would have been 90% an insurance company and 10% everything else. Today, we're about a 50-50 company, insurance and then other financial products and services. The company has diversified its business offerings a lot just in the last few years to take on more financial services and products, advice, wealth management solutions like asset management. So the company's done a really good job to diversify itself and not be too dependent on the insurance and benefits side. I'm based out of One York Street in downtown Toronto. I also work occasionally out of our Waterloo office, where we also have a presence. My role, I mean, it's the, you know, director talent acquisition. Often that requires a lot more explanation. I would say I have two jobs and I spend about half my time in each one. One of them is on the experienced hire side, where I'm leading a team of six talent acquisition consultants who are hiring from our more entry level or new graduate type roles into the assistant vice president roles and everything in between. And it's dynamic in its nature that I manage the corporate functions portfolio of Sun Life. So it's almost a little easier to explain what I don't do. My portfolio is not the technology side. It's not the operations side. And it's actually not the asset and wealth management side. It's more finance, actuarial, human resources, communications, marketing, legal. All of these arms of the company that aren't quite big enough to be their own pillar, they make up my entire portfolio. And so that team, you know, we're going to push 1,000 hires a year on the experienced hire side. and just depends on a lot of those roles go internal, for example. We have a good split, I would say, between internal and external hiring. We believe really strongly in supporting our employees and promoting them from within. But we also recognize the importance of bringing in expertise from outside of the organization. And so that's a real focus on that side. The other half of my job is campus recruitment. So that, you know, each of the directors in talent acquisition at Sun Life, and there's four of us, by the way, three others who do similar jobs to the one that I do. They just handle different portfolios than I have. But my center of expertise is the campus recruitment space. And so I do lead campus recruitment for Sun Life for Canada, which does include the technology side, the operations, and all of the organization. And so within that space, we have a team of 9 early careers associates who help deliver those services and hire those students. We hire, depending on the year, we'll go anywhere between 500 and 700 students a year, which is larger than most companies. It's not the biggest, but it's definitely a very sizable amount to give us a really strong presence on campus. But the real focus has now evolved into our conversion strategy. So taking somebody from a student experience and getting them to join us after graduation in a full-time capacity. And that's the real value of a campus recruitment program. A lot of people still view it as, let's give a student 4 months worth of work and we'll get some value out of them and we're being nice by hiring them. That's all well and good, but the real strategic intent of having a student come in is to give them a real experience, help them develop their skills, and try to define what it is that they might be interested in their future. So avoiding what I went through when I was a student, had no idea what I wanted to do. Hopefully we're giving students a bit of direction in what that might look and feel like for them. And then from a very strategic, internally beneficial perspective at Sun Life, when we can convert them to full-time, that's really great for us because now we don't have to go to market. We're also hiring somebody that we already know, and we know that they like us and they do a great job. So it's a great fit. And so for the student that we hire, typically we try to hire them before they go into their graduating year. So we'd like to offer them the job. So for example, right now it's August. This is a perfect time to offer somebody that full-time job for those that are graduating in April of 2026. So for the student, all they have to do is go back to school and complete their final year. They know they've got that job offer in their back pocket and they can start with us in May of 26 or June if they want to do a little traveling or whatever that is. But it also gives us some certainty in knowing that we've got a qualified, able person that we've already evaluated coming into that role at a specific time so we can plan for it ahead of time. We're doing that better than we used to. We're still not there. We've got more that we want to do and make it more embedded throughout the organization, but we're starting to see some really nice returns from that. The great news is that the students that we do hire are overwhelmingly telling us they're getting a great experience at Sun Life and that they want to come back. And so we're getting high 90s. Even the last term, we got a 100% rating from our students to say, love it at Sun Life and want to come back. And so our job now is to help facilitate those returns.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks for sharing that level of detail. I think that's a highly strategic, high value type of endeavor when you're looking at your early in career talent like that. And especially when you're looking at those conversion rates and looking, you get a look at them over the summer and you can make sure that it's a good fit, high performing individuals, bring them into the organization. And there'll be a lot of kind of what I call talent velocity of people moving up and through your organization, making those right hires. And I think that's a very strategic way to look at it. And I hope those in the audience who are running their own programs listen to this and take that away, because I think that's a really great way to look at it.
The other thing I would urge everybody to keep in mind too is not to limit their student recruitment just to the summer. The fall and the winter is equally as strategic, and there's lots of students that are looking for opportunities at that time. Now, granted, we do hire a few more in the summer than we do in the other terms, but it is relatively balanced. And so the business knows we have a consistent stream of co-op students all year long in 4 month pieces of time. And so not every student is on the same work cycles. And depending on the school they go to, the programs they're in, this can change. So it's really important to have a balanced 12-month approach to co-op hiring. Because if you only stick to summer, you're going to miss out on those students that might be on those alternating schedules in the fall and the winter as well.
Yeah, that's great advice. So you had mentioned that you've been there about 2 years. Obviously, you've done some work on the strategy around early in career and campus programs. Let's talk about what's maybe another initiative or accomplishment that you're particularly proud of that's occurred over the last couple of years.
Sure. One of the big initiatives that we have here is we have a scholarship program. It's called the Dean Connor Inclusion Scholarship, and it's really designed to open doors for youth that may have difficulty or challenge accessing certain opportunities. And so it is focused on Black and Indigenous youth. And so we each year are hiring approximately 20 students into that scholarship program and giving them a specialized experience with professional development programming. We're also providing a scholarship to each student of $5,000, along with the work experience that we offer throughout the summer. And so we have used that program to further those initiatives, to open those doors, but we also recognize that we're trying to make that program work a little better, be a bit more effective, and even grow it. And so one thing we're really focused on is listening to the participants of the program to say, we love these aspects of it. Maybe think about doing this a little bit differently. So in the 2 years that I've been here, we've taken a lot of that feedback and started to incorporate it into the structure of the scholarship and the way that it works. And we're now at the point too where we're ready to recommend some bigger changes to that scholarship to open it up to potentially more students than we've been able to, which is really the goal. And so that's a huge piece of what it is that we're doing here. We also have a lot of other programs that we're a part of and that we participate in. One of the ones that everybody at Sun Life in talent acquisition is starting to get involved in is our Early Careers Accelerator, which is replacing an older rotational program after graduation. This exists for people that are new to Sun Life and that are identified as potential future leaders. And so these couple of programs, the scholarship, these are things that are really on our radar to try to continuously improve. They're already good. We think we can make them a lot better and get even better outcomes. I would say those are big areas. Like everybody else, we're trying to figure out AI. How does that work into our teams and our programs? What kinds of technologies can help us do our jobs a little more effectively or a little better? So we're always looking at those things as well.
Great. Let's talk a little bit about measurement and performance. I always like to ask, at Sun Life, how do you measure performance as it relates to talent acquisition? And maybe take a couple different lenses. One lens would be from an executive standpoint, what do your executives care about or what measurements are most important to them? And then internal to your team, what's important to you as you look at your team to measure and judge performance?
Right. I think from an executive perspective, there's a number of things that they'll look at, but I would say the primary things, the two areas of feedback that we get. One is hiring manager satisfaction rates. Those are our business partners. So, you know, everybody in talent acquisition, we work collaboratively with our business partners. We actually don't call our teams recruiters. They're called talent acquisition consultants for a reason. And it's because they're supposed to provide their expertise to the business, which they do, which helps us start to think about the best practices and the market conditions that we're seeing. And we can share that expertise with those business partners. So hiring manager satisfaction rate is big, new hire satisfaction rate. So when anybody joins the organization, we want that to be the best in class experience for them, right from the moment that they apply to a job to day one in seat. And so all of the touch points that occur in between. So making sure that candidates are well informed of where they stand in the process. When they are identified as a potential hire, making sure they know what to expect from an onboarding perspective so that when they get into seat on day one, they have all the technology they need to do their job effectively. And all they need to do is meet with their teams and start learning about their role and get into the organization. The other pieces that are really important are longer term development and retention rates. This confirms to us that we're hiring the right people. And so the ones who want to stay and who get developed. A couple of other areas that I do pay a bit of attention to is the acceptance rate. If our acceptance rate starts to drop too much, then that's usually an indication that we're not identifying the appropriate people for the roles we're recruiting for. So the higher that acceptance rate, the more effective our talent acquisition consultants have been in their screening and scouting efforts. We pay, I would say, some attention to time to fill, but not to the point where we're always over somebody's shoulder and saying, this is taking a little too long. I'm okay with a requisition taking longer than normal, as long as everybody's well informed throughout the process, the hiring manager and the talent acquisition consultant have been highly strategic, and we get to the right outcome. I'd rather the business waits an extra couple of weeks or 3 weeks to find that right hire rather than just hire fast. And so that to me is the important piece. If you look at what I look at with my team, all of those things are important, but I also look at things like internal hiring rate. So are we looking at our internal pool to see if we have people that are there that are ready for that next step, particularly in roles that are manager or director or assistant vice president? There's few things worse than an internal employee who is doing really well in their role not get considered and only see external candidates get interviewed for that role. And so we do pay attention to internal hire rates. And I think that is an important thing to strike that balance. We do find that the more senior the role, our internal hiring rates do tend to rise. And that to me is a good indication that we're also bringing in great people at the more junior levels and supporting their development to go into those roles in the future. We do pay attention to our DE&I metrics. And so we want to make sure we're achieving gender balance and we're achieving a strong representation of underrepresented ethnicities. Our numbers there are very strong. So we're really happy with that. So those are some of the traditional metrics that people would look at. I think if you were to talk to our CEO or our CHRO, they want to make sure that everybody's getting a great experience and that we are supporting and developing the people that are here.
Thank you for sharing that. Now, as you look forward, so for the next 12 to 18 months, there's a lot of things going on. The market is ever changing. What are one or two initiatives that you and the team are very focused on as you look forward, maybe key initiatives that are important to your organization?
Sure. I'm going to go back to the conversion piece to the early career side, to our campus recruitment. I also don't think that's something that's ever going to go away. That is a continually evolving focus. And so there's areas where we do this really well within Sun Life. And so it's highly strategic. It's highly targeted with quotas that we want to fill. And we do that well. And then there's other areas of the business where it's not like it's not going well. It's just, it's not as deliberate. So we need to try and foster that kind of intentionality with our business partners. And so that's something that's always evolving. And I would say over the next 12 to 18 months, that's going to just continue to accelerate in importance. We've done well to date, but again, like anything else, you can always be better. And I would say the other thing that we're really thinking through is how do we successfully incorporate AI into what we're doing to the point where we're not relying on a machine to make a decision for us? Because we don't want that. We want a human to always make that decision. We are looking at ways that AI can make our jobs more efficient and give us some predictors and give us some more information to use to complement the decision that a human has to make. And so I think one of the concerns that I've heard from colleagues in talent acquisition is we're worried that AI is going to be overwhelming and start to make the decisions for people. And then we're just connecting the dots. I think AI is simply a tool, and it's something that gives you either more information or better information to listen to help you make your decision. And so I think the evolving landscape of AI is something we're going to continuously keep an eye on and try to be a leader in that space and understand what works really well and what are some of the pitfalls that we need to be aware of so that we can avoid making bad decisions.
That's a really important initiative, obviously, in the work that we do as a technology advisor for large enterprise TA firms. So we run across that a lot. And I think the best organizations are really looking at AI strategies that focus on how do we leverage the technology to increase productivity or effectiveness or experience, those types of things, not necessarily replace people.
Right.
Now, inevitably that happens, but you have to really think about the desired future state experience that you're trying to create first and foremost, and also be very cautious going through this. I'm coining this the chaos era, if you will, of AI, because everybody is looking at it. Everybody is coming up with new solutions. Everyone is rebranding their existing solutions. Everyone is marketing the heck out of it and spamming you and every other TA leader in the world. It's right. Very hard to navigate and a very chaotic, but there is is a great opportunity for people to look at what is that future state vision, and then what are the right solutions designed right, integrated, and implemented that will get me to that level. And so it's tough to get there, but I think there's a lot. Those that navigate this chaos area will have significant performance gains as a result of it.
Well, and not that it isn't complex in other parts of an organization, but it's called human resources for a reason. It has to be human-centric. And so how do we balance that and make sure that we're using it in effective ways that keeps that focus on the human element?
Yeah, that's great. Last question I have for you, Jeff, is what's some advice? I think you've shared some great advice already through the podcast. However, like, what's a piece of advice that you would share for others in the audience?
Never say never and never say always. I was just actually having a conversation earlier today with a student who is not sure what they want to do in their future. And I think a lot of the times people are pressured to feel like, I've got it all figured out. I know exactly what this is going to look like. I know exactly how to do this stuff. And it doesn't always work out like that. So I would just say to people, be open to career paths that you might not have thought of before. Be open to new ways of doing business and to thinking about a problem, especially when it comes to the evolving technology. We've touched on AI, but there's many other areas too where you can put a piece of technology in thinking, hey, this is going to be the solution. It's going to fix my problems. But the technology is only a tool. And so how does the human use it and how does the human benefit from it? Just be open to those things and don't rely on those things for the solutions. In terms of always saying, hey, we've always done it this way, so we're always going to keep doing it this way. Companies who think that way are dead. And so you've always got to evolve and do new things. And so my advice is never say always.
That's great advice. Jeff, you did an excellent job today. Thank you for sharing your journey with the TA Leaders podcast. And I really appreciate you.
It was my pleasure. Thanks for the invitation. It was great to be here, and I enjoyed this a lot. Thanks, Ryan.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Talent Acquisition Leaders podcast. If something we said today resonated with you, please subscribe, rate, and download our podcast and share the episode with your network. Ready to transform your recruiting practices with leading-edge technology just like our other clients at 3M, Comcast, Stryker, and Walgreens? Then reach out at sagemarkhr.com for a free consultation.